Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Get the Hillman Morning Show on demand. Podcasts and more are always online and on your schedule at waaf.com.
8:30, that an annual tradition that has occurred on this show for years and years and years will occur today, and that is before Memorial Day weekend gets underway. We will play the Greenfields of France, and we'll probably do that at about 8:30. We've done that for, I don't know, a decade maybe. So we'll do that at 8:30 to pay tribute to those who have lost their lives in service of this great nation. So we'll do that at 8:30 here at WAAF-FM and HD1, Westboro, Boston, WEEI HD2, Lawrence, and WWBX HD2, Boston.
Bad boys, what you want?
Following the man and woman of law enforcement.
A caller from Johnston Way reported illegal use of her internet
on the dangerous streets of Greg Hill's hometown.
A caller reported that two deer ran into the window at the Stowe Fitness and they were acting confused.
This is Stowe 5-0.
All right, time now for a brief look at some of the terrifying crimes that have been either walked in or called in to my hometown police department, the Stowe PD.
Yeah, buddy.
I hope there's not an incident from my backyard yesterday. I will not.
Oh, no. Come on. No, you can't. No, you can't just throw. How about 905? You can't just throw that out there and not tell the story.
No names.
Guy, what happened?
No names.
No names.
Yeah, I think we can figure it
out. Was yesterday Wednesday?
Yes.
Wednesday afternoon.
Oh, boy.
Aren't I doing my work? About 3 p.m. And don't I suddenly hear a loud cacophony?
Yeah.
Is that the word?
Cacophony, of
rap tunes.
Oh, no.
Coming from the backyard.
Uh-huh.
And don't I look out there and there's some kind of a rogue beer pong game going on? I mean, what is...
How many individuals were involved?
Oh, like six?
What?
Oh. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, these crazy.
I mean, what are these people doing?
I know.
I mean,
Johnny Egan, damn it.
Do they not have, like, to get a summer job or something? I mean,
evidently not in that household.
I mean, my Lord. All right, anyway. we begin on Monday, May 13th, at 8:38 a.m., when a caller from Robert Road reported that a pushy pest control solicitor went to her door. He kept knocking on the door and trying the doorknob, and then he stayed for about 10 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Uh-huh. An officer explained that the company had had complaints before, and the information was logged.
Well, he's casing the joint.
There's nothing worse than a pushy salesperson going door to door.
He's trying to get those Yadro statues out of the China closet.
On Wednesday, May 15th at 4:08 a.m., an employee from Stowbrook Golf reported that when she was checking the surveillance cameras to see her parked car, she did not see it.
Uh-huh.
She was too afraid to go outside to check the area. Police responded. The woman's car was in the parking lot, and it was determined that the cameras were not live.
Not live.
Is that like when you go to Home Depot and the self-checkout screen shows you and the guy in the back that's supposedly watching you?
At 7:03 p.m., a caller on Harvard Road reported that a man was sitting in a chair near the road. The caller was concerned for the man's safety.
Yeah.
The police responded. All was okay. That guy's just sitting in a chair watching traffic.
Can a guy just sit there and wave his cars?
Yeah. I mean, what's wrong with that? On Thursday, May 16th at 8:01 a.m., a caller on Sudbury Road reported that two goats were walking down the street.
Who was Tom Brady with?
The animals were retrieved by their owner and were okay.
Living in the suburbs.
You know they were going straight to the vape place.
Absolutely.
At 8:52 p.m., a caller from Baldwin Drive reported that she saw a glowing light in the woods behind her home, and she thought it was a fire. The police responded. A small lantern was located behind one of the neighbor's homes.
No, probably, it was a Brady kid with a flashlight.
Probably some
that's
kind
creepy.
Of...
That is very creepy. Yeah. Who leaves a rando lantern in the backyard in the woods?
Oh, probably the Headless Horseman, if I had to guess.
Oh, good call.
On Friday, May 17th at 11:46 a.m., a caller from Kirkland Road reported that a car was in her driveway. She had no idea who it was. Police responded. A moment later, the driver got out of the car, and the caller knew who it was.
Shocking. Turned out like that again. The caller had forgotten she invited a friend over 15 minutes before.
Oh, my God.
At 5:16 p.m., a caller from Great Road reported that a man parked in his driveway. The man was sitting in his car reading a newspaper. The police responded. The man was waiting for AAA to respond.
But he just parked in some random driveway.
Some random driveway?
At 5:17 p.m., a walk-in reported that her child's beloved stuffed animal, Louis the Lion, was lost somewhere at the Stowe Plaza.
You know,
we put him on a milk carton.
Yeah, put it on social. People have had great luck recovering lost precious stuffed animals by the power of social media.
No offense to Stowe 5-0, but that sounds like a job for the state police.
I was probably right. Yeah. And then finally, on Saturday, May 18th at 3:04 p.m., a caller from Sylvan Drive reported that he cannot open his windows because his neighbor plays very loud music.
Oh,
well, it could be a leaf blower. It could be worse.
That's right.
So
there you have it.
Poison.
I've said it before. I'll say it again. I live in one of the most dangerous towns in our state.
Yeah.
And that's what happened last week in Stowe, Massachusetts, and that is Stowe 5-0.
And now, it's your turn to talk as the Hillman Morning Show presents Hill Mail.
I don't know whose rage was worse, Greg's in traffic or Casey Kasem when he had to do a dead dog request after an up-tempo song.
On WAAF.
All right, time now for today's Hill Mail voicemail messages, and they are brought to you by the fine people at East Coast Metal Roofing. Reach out to them today and find out about an amazing deal. You're going to get 10% off a brand new metal roof. EastCoastMetalRoofing.com. That's where you go. EastCoastMetalRoofing.com. And here for you right now are the very best Hill Mail voicemail messages that have been left over the previous 24 hours.
Wednesday, 7:17 a.m.
So if all of these people that end up going to bars, disappearing, and then get found in a body of water are the victims of the smiley face killer, then what would we call LB, considering he's always getting lost in bars and ending up in Gardner? Would we call him the jaundiced face swiller?
End of message.
LB out again. We'll be back at some point.
Wednesday, 9:27 a.m.
Hey, how you doing? This is Jim over at Rustic Fire Protection. And, Greg, just want to let you know that we heard your complaints yesterday about the man broken down in traffic. And we want you to let you know that we fired that gentleman for his poor driving capability. So just to let you know, that's handled. And that guy will not be working for us any longer. Thank you.
I hope that my unfortunate road rage incident on this show did not lead to anything happening. That guy who broke down in the middle of the pike.
I'm sure it didn't. Probably wasn't his fault.
Not my intention. I was a little frustrated, as many of us can get in traffic, and my sincere apologies.
Wednesday, 6:18 p.m.
So today, my wife allowed our 13-year-old daughter to stay home from school because during the night her rabbit died. Now, is this a legitimate bereavement day, Danielle, or is it just bad parenting?
End of message.
I think that's legitimate.
Yeah, come on.
I mean, hopefully your daughter has already made her career choice at the age of six or seven.
Right.
And so she's on the track to be a successful adult by the time she's 10. We learned yesterday that a majority of parents want their child to choose their career and be working mm-hmm. toward it at the age of 5 and a half. Mm-hmm. Some of the lawnmower parents or snowplow parents, whatever mm-hmm. whatever you choose to call them. And so I hope that your kid, I mean, if you're listening and you have a kid who's 6 or 7 and they're more into trying to keep the crayon coloring in the lines as opposed to choosing their career, mm-hmm. you're way behind.
They're done.
As a parent. You're a loser of a parent.
Wednesday, 8:49 p.m.
Okay, so I've been watching this Chernobyl series just like you, Greg, and I'm completely obsessed with it. I've realized something, came to realize something, and it's maybe going to save the world. So we still have radioactivity in Chernobyl. I guarantee the best way to fix this problem, just send Keith Richards to Chernobyl, and the radioactivity will go away.
Yes.
It will stop. Great idea, right?
End of message.
That is an excellent idea.
You finally get episode
oh, yeah.
3?
Oh, yeah.
It's great, isn't it?
Can I just tell you whoever the makeup artist is? Emmy,
you mean
Oscar.
for the hospital thing?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Those poor, the firemen. There's like, they're just human scabs with eyeballs. It's awful.
Whether it's listeners or friends or whomever, when I recommend that show, the response, once they watch it,
mm-hmm.
the response I get back is just how compelling it is.
Very
it
well
is,
done.
The way that, I get it, communist country, you know, the 80s,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The people of Russia, not only then, but most likely to this day, don't have much of an idea of what their government is doing.
No.
But to be that dishonest with the lives of the people in your
yeah.
country. I mean, those meetings when they're trying to figure out what to tell the people and trying to figure out how to cover it up. And mm-hmm. they know that they need to get those people out of Chernobyl immediately to try to have the chance of saving their lives or
right.
preventing cancer, and they don't do it. It's,
yeah.
it's
the Soviet
chilling.
The Soviet way.
It's chilling.
I say my new heroes are the Russian coal miners.
Why?
There are no,
the nude ones.
They are badasses.
Oh yeah, I know.
They didn't take. They didn't take crap from like the Politburo.
When the guy shows up and they all slap his suit
right.
with their coal hands yeah. on the way out. I mean,
there's two soldiers backing that guy with machine guns, and they're like, "Go ahead, you don't have enough bullets to kill us all.
I know.
Eventually, we'll get you." I'm like, "Oh my god, these guys have nuts."
How about the dude who's was the shoe factory guy who became the in charge of like the local division of the Politburo mm-hmm. or whatever, and he's. Pounding the vodka midday in his office or
yep.
morning or whatever.
mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, you got to watch Chernobyl on HBO, and you have to listen to the accompanying podcast, which has been done with the creator, who I learned one of our listeners is trying to get the creator on because his wife is friends with that guy's wife.
Oh, good. Because I've been trying to get to him,
The wife is from here, apparently.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
6:14 a.m.
I suppose it's all right if the NFL guys are using marijuana. They already spend their Sunday afternoons on grass. Oh, boy.
End of message.
That's kind of a dad joke.
Dad joke.
Mm-hmm. Dad joke.
Yeah. Stanley's poll this morning is about Roger Goodell and the NFL, and they may go ahead and allow NFL players to smoke marijuana for pain control purposes. I don't have an issue with it.
I don't have an issue with that either.
And it appears... Last time we checked, anyway, that overwhelmingly you don't have an issue with it either.
Mm-hmm.
That's on our Twitter feed at WAAF or on our Instagram at WAAF Boston and on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAAF Rocks. How do you feel about that?
6:44 a.m.
Yo, every time I'm at bat, I hit a homer. You better not. Ask me if I got my diploma, because you know what? I might just have to hit you with the glaucoma.
End of message.
Yo! 774 text. I just started watching Chernobyl last night on your recommendation, Holy See.
Yeah.
I didn't know much about it before, and the show is amazing. Here's a 978 texter. Started it last night and about to bag out of work so I can watch episode 2 and 3 today. All right.
6:57 a.m.
Hi, it's Jeff. I gracefully accept the nomination for worst caller.
Come on, Greg. Come on. Come on.
End of message.
That was good.
Well, most hated caller bracket coming when we come back from Memorial Day weekend. Yes. We'll do that next week, Tuesday or Wednesday or something.
Wednesday, 9:29 a.m.
Hello? This is Bob from Rustic Fire Protection. I was the elderly man who broke down in the middle of the pipe because I ran out of gas. Well, guess what, Greg? I got fired because you tattled on me. What, you never ran out of gas before on your way to work? I find it hard to believe. How am I going to feed my kids? They're 40.
End of message.
40.
Sure, the guy was fine. Not his fault that he broke down.
No. Company vehicle. It's the company's fault.
It is
the
company's
fault. He's not responsible for that car, or that truck.
Yes, yes it is. Here's the 978 text that says, the best line so far in Chernobyl is when the coal miners are naked and the foreman says, but we're wearing the hats.
Yeah, ooh. We're still wearing the hats. Yeah, the coal miner supervisor. How about the power move when he goes into the office to talk to the head guy?
Yes.
And the scientist?
Yeah.
And he points at the cigarettes like, can I have a cigarette? And the guy gives him the pack to take a cigarette out, and he takes the pack and the lighter, sticks it in his front pocket, smokes, and just looks right at the guy like, what are you going to do? Russian coal miners, yeah. they were the only union in the Soviet Union that would go on strike because they knew they needed them too much.
Yeah.
You know? They're tough.
Here's a 617 text asking if Chernobyl is a documentary, and no, we've talked about it a lot. It's a what would you call it?
I guess
a drama,
a dramatization.
It's a dramatization.
But they put little bits in of actual stuff.
Well, first of all, the essentially they don't have 911, but at the beginning, and I learned this from the podcast. You hear the actual call, the actual audio of somebody calling in
cool.
the nuclear plant fire.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It's scary.
And then, the actual, at the beginning, you know, the guy who is recording the tapes, that actually happened. He actually recorded those tapes.
Right. I believe that's how they got this material to make the show.
And there's some lines that are, most of the dialogue is fictionalized, and there are some lines that are directly right out of what happened based on witness accounts. And that woman, the woman who's in the hospital with her firefighter husband.
Yes. The pregnant woman?
She was a part of a book and told that horrible story. So, it's just... and how about the KGB guy?
That was a great scene.
Like grabbing her because of what she said.
The other scientist
because of what she said. I mean,
at first he's like, because the other scientist wanted to get her out of jail, and he was like, I don't know who you're talking about. I don't have to arrest people anymore. That's why I'm head of the KBG. And then at the end of the conversation, he's like, well, her name is, I know her name. Oh my God.
Right. This is Paul. Hello, Paul.
But, I mean, talk about an incredibly well-directed series. And on that conversation there, and he just pointed to Lavrov, to the physicist. He's like, you're going to be responsible for her? And he's like, yes. He's like, okay, it's done.
Yep.
I mean, absolutely incredible.
Yeah. And we didn't know any of it, really. You know what I mean? I mean, here in America.
Right,
Or around the world, nobody knew what was going on.
Yeah.
So, all right. It's 8:19. Thank you for participating this morning during Hill Mail. I want to get a guy that we've been talking about on the show a little bit the last couple of weeks into the studio this morning. He is the brand new Boston Bruins anthem maestro and a bartender extraordinaire at the Boston Garden, Todd Angeli. And are you guys trying to set up cameras in time for time? Okay, well, you're going to have to roll quick. Todd, we'll go put right over. First of all, Todd, it is Stiz. Set him up with a microphone. give him two, don't give him two turntables, but give him a microphone. And if you could set him up with some kind of a shaker as well, we want him to make some drinks for everybody. Todd, how are you?
How you doing? Good morning.
We've been talking about you a lot.
I hear.
Have you heard? Yes. You're doing an amazing job, first of all. Big shoes to step into.
Absolutely.
Now, is the story true that you're a bartender at the Garden?
I am. Boston Sports Society, it's called the AT&T Sports Deck.
Okay, yes,
yeah.
Yes.
So okay. It's a private club on the fifth floor.
How long have you been bartending?
I've been bartending for probably the past 10 to 12 years, but in that position for about 7 now.
Okay. And then you were you singing on the side or like in the shower or like what was it?
No, everything since I was a kid and then went to school and went to school to be a teacher and started taking voice lessons while I was in school because it was something I enjoyed doing.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of started doing voice competitions and then productions. So I was still, in school, but getting involved in operas and, musicals, things like that. Came down to Boston and did my master's for education and then got involved with the New England Conservatory and their opera program. And then the student loans started to become a little higher than my bank account. I said, it's time to make a move.
I'm going to go bartender.
Yeah. So always worked in the service industry.
Yeah.
For those who can't see me, just to take care of my physical, appearance. Because anywhere we can work, I need to see.
Yes, you are. Yes, yeah. Well, and, don't you have to be like Pavarotti? Like in order to, doesn't it help? I'm a bigger guy.
I get a couple of pounds.
Does it help when it comes to singing the anthem?
It actually doesn't. Yeah, I've actually gotten turned down for a lot of roles. Pavarotti, actually, if you go back and really far back, he was a very in shape, not a big guy when he first started. The problem is, as he got bigger, his reputation and his career got bigger. So nobody's going to tell Pavarotti they're not going to cast him.
Even at
his worst. Unfortunately, I got to meet him. He was very, very heavy, and it affected his health very much. But again, he was Pavarotti, so nobody's going to say, "Hey, we're not going to cast you because you're big." But doesn't work for a guy who's doesn't really have any.
Here's a 508 text that says, "Please tell Todd I will never forget him belting out Judas Priest tunes in his car back at Plymouth State."
I'm not really sure I remember that exact day, but I'm not going to deny it. Plymouth State, that was my undergrad days. So, absolutely.
So, the Bruins held an audition.
Yeah.
And did you know immediately that you were going to try to be the next Renee Rancourt?
It's something like this with a performance background, so to speak. I don't want to be the next Renee. I don't want to be the next anything.
Yeah.
And then I've actually been in the building. I've been in the garden right after the TD Garden, right after it opened, the new one, working in the kitchen, of course.
Yeah.
And so I've been in the building for about 20 years.
Yeah.
So I've been able to watch him, and I would always, I get myself in trouble, I guess. Well, it's too late now, but I would always slide out of the kitchen to go and hear the anthem because it was always, that's always been a very important song in my family. Growing up, I've always, at Plymouth State or anywhere else, always getting, asked to sing that. It's always been one of my quote-unquote specialties, but watching him and watching the crowd reaction to him and his reputation and all that. So it was always like, oh, it's time for the anthem. I got to slide out and hear the anthem. So when all of this came about, and I had the opportunity for the past probably 3 years to fill in.
Yeah.
Renee would take about 10 games off a season. Mm-hmm. So I would have the opportunity to do like a game a season for the past 3 years. But then when they announced the audition, it was, you're kind of thinking to yourself, yeah, I really want to do this. But then you're like, if this ever really happens,
right,
you know that. And this is Boston. This is New England. This, I mean, tradition is synonymous with New England.
Yeah.
And so, you're going to come into a, and I hear it all the time. And I'll sometimes it's a little, nice where they're, hey, you're doing a great job. Renee was the best, but you're doing a good job. I can respect that, you get the people out there. Probably, opening a Twitter account was probably the worst thing I could have ever done in my life.
Yeah. Okay, so don't read.
I get
that
back
stuff.
From singing.
Like, don't pay attention.
Yeah,
then.
No,
don't,
you know, and I, it's listen, like an addiction. I get back from singing because I run back up to the bar and I pull my phone out, and the other bartender goes, "Dude, don't look
don't,
at it.
Don't,
we,
don't,
you know, we don't need you in a bad mood for the rest of the night." But I welcome the. it's tough. There's so much respect for him.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of, like, people say, are you going to give him, give a couple of fist bumps? No, absolutely not. That was him.
That was him.
I don't want to copy him.
Yeah.
I don't want to insult him. I don't want to take anything away from him. I want him to be remembered in a very positive light. And then maybe we can start, a new era, a new thing. Yeah, a new tradition or something. And
Now, first of all, are you willing? I mean, this is the last day I'm working before Memorial Day weekend.
Sure.
Are you willing to do the anthem coming up before you go? Or
yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
I just want to give everybody a heads up.
8:00 in the morning, not a problem.
You're warmed up and ready to go.
I will probably go Instagram Live. In fact, I will go Instagram Live. So Greg Hill 107 is how you can follow me on Instagram, and I'll go live right now. So
it's going to look like a concert in here.
I know.
With all the phones up.
Everybody's phones up. So Greg Hill 107, follow me on Instagram. I'm going to go Instagram Live for a touching rendition of the anthem. But do you get nervous before you go out?
Absolutely. Every time.
Really?
I was nervous sitting in the room over there talking to, unfortunately, your people over there, their ears are bleeding because I couldn't stop talking. Absolutely.
You know, singers always say it's one of the hardest songs to sing. Is that true?
It definitely is, the range of it. And, you know, we're going to prove that at 8:00 a.m.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But I've been doing it all my life, and you just try to.
How great is it, though, at the end? And like a big game on Monday night, like how great is that going to be? I mean, you must be so pumped up at the end of that.
It's interesting because getting ready to walk out. I mean, other than the fact that I'm thinking to myself, don't trip and fall. Don't trip and fall. Don't do something stupid. You get out there and you're just so, I'm so nervous. I want to do the right thing. And then to hear the crowd reaction, forget about it. It's on. The crowd is so helpful and so supportive, and they're right along with you. There was, I think it was game 7 in Toronto. They were singing along, and at one point, I just wanted to stop and just let them go. I'm like, are you kidding this? Where does this happen?
Listen, there's nothing, to me, there's nothing that gives me chills like the game after the marathon bombings.
Oh, sure.
When the crowd takes over and Renee lets them. I mean, I saying it, I get chills.
Oh, absolutely.
And
I was there that night.
Amazing.
Absolutely.
All right, so Monday's going to be a pretty big night for you.
Yeah, whoever thought this could happen. You know?
I know. It's unbelievable. All right, so I think we should do it. let's get. I'm Instagram Live. I'm going to actually move over so I can get a good view of this. And Todd Angeli is the new Bruins anthem maestro and bartender.
Maybe they're still going through. They told us at the audition they weren't going to make a decision.
Oh, so you don't know yet.
So,
okay.
Yeah, technically it's still an open. And so they had told us at the auditions they'll make a decision after the season's over. So.
And you are the second best bartender at the Garden. I'm a little partial to Dan up in the Absolute Club.
I'll give you that.
I'll give you that.
Okay. That's fine.
All right, so let's do it because Memorial Day weekend is here. And hold on, I'm going to get right over whenever you're ready. Maestro, whenever you're ready.
All right. Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light, what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Nailed it. Awesome. At 8:29 in the morning. So see, you were nervous.
You know, usually I'm doing a church service at 8, but we're not doing the anthem.
Oh,
huh?
That was the response, fantastic on the Instagram Live. That was That was awesome.
Thank you.
Oh, I wish the game was right now.
I know. Now I want to see the game.
Complete chills. And what do you do? You work during the day? You work in the court system, right?
I'm a probation officer.
Oh, you are? That's great.
So I was actually coming down. I was telling gentleman over here. I'm sorry. I forgot your name.
Stiz Grammy? He's a rapper.
Yeah. And I was coming down 93, and I'm like running late. I want to make sure I get here. And I look in the car next to me, and it's one of the deputy commissioners. And he looks over, and I was like, "Oh, hey, how you doing? I took vacation time." He's like, "It's all right." So he rolls the window down. He goes, "Dude, you're gonna run late. You're running late. You're gonna supposed to be 9 a.m. this morning."
Well, yeah. First of all, congratulations. It gives me chills when you do it, and I can't wait for Monday night, and I'm going to demand, if anybody's listening, like Don Sweeney, regular listener of this program, I demand that you get the job. Full time. But
let me say that it's been quite the experience, and I really do appreciate getting stopped on the street or whatever in public, and I love it, and for the organization to trust in me to do it and to ask me to do it. It's a great honor, and I can't let that go. I have to say that. So thank you very much.
Awesome.
It's been an honor.
We're proud of you.
Thank you very much.
We'll be watching.
And it's been great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
We're glad to have you. And before you go, Tito Soda, close it.
Okay.
All right.
With that?
All right. No line. No, I don't want a line.
No fruit.
Always ready to work.
Todd, great to see you. All right. We'll see you Monday, and we'll be right back.
All right. Thanks.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What an amazing job that Todd Angeli, the new Bruins anthem singer, did with the national anthem on this program.
I could feel it. When you're right in front of him.
Yeah.
When you're it was close.
It was awesome. It has me so pumped up for game one that I what am I going to do?
Right.
It's days away.
I know.
I do want to mention that if you'd like to be there on Monday night at the Garden for game one of the Stanley Cup final, then you can win the raffle that the Boston Bruins are doing. And I thank the Bruins for choosing the Greg Hill Foundation as one of the beneficiaries in this raffle. They are raffling off a pair of suite tickets. And if you win them, you're there with food, an amazing view of the ice.
Mm-hmm.
I will be there for the entire game on Monday night. That is my commitment to you. I'm not leaving at any time early. I'm actually not a jinx when it comes to these playoff games. I've been to every single one, and the Bruins have advanced to the final because I have been there. So what?
You're going to be a nightmare on Tuesday, aren't you? You've got a weekend full of bro-tivities, and then the game.
I'll be fine on Tuesday.
I don't know how you do it, guy.
But go to BruinsRaffles.org. That's BruinsRaffles.org. And take a shot at these tickets, and the Greg Hill Foundation and the Bruins Charitable Foundation will be the beneficiary of your largesse. So thank you very much.
We want Boston! We want Boston! We want Boston!
Well, you're getting Boston again. You've had Boston in the past, and it didn't work out that well for you.
Our hometown of St. Louis, the best sports city in America.
I wouldn't say the best.
That's a good one.
I wouldn't say the best sports city in America. There's some others who might claim to be a better sports city. I don't.
Our hometown of St. Louis, the best sports city in America.
You people have cable.
No. obscure reference on Todd,
yes,
the anthem singer.
Yeah.
And it comes from our vice president of social media's Stiz Grimy. I observed this in the green room.
Yeah.
Stiz and Todd recognized each other.
From where?
Well, as is the case and what you might expect, Todd was Stiz's probation officer.
Shut up.
Oh, my
yes.
God, no.
Shut that, your as, mouth. As,
so the two of them had a reunion.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, yes. That's true.
Yes.
What? You little criminal.
I know. I couldn't believe it. Honestly, when he walked in, I'm like, my mouth dropped because I thought I was going back to jail. I'm like, no, yeah, exactly. And he's looking at me, and I'm looking at him, and I'm like, oh my God. And yeah.
Probie.
Yeah.
What's up, Probie?
Out of Chelsea. And I just couldn't believe it.
What were you in for?
Drugs. Drugs. No, seriously.
Drugs.
It was drugs. Yeah. You know? So thank God I've turned my and to be honest, it was a really cool experience for me to know him from that life and to now see him on, you know, in this stage of my life.
Yeah.
And I'm doing much better, and you know, it's just unbelievable. And Todd just always fair, was always a guy,
yeah.
Always gave you a fair shake.
That's great.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you did right by him, you know, he would do right by you, and that's not always the case. So
hey, been there, brah.
Oh, yeah.
I had a probation officer after my drug bust in Clinton, 1985.
What?
Uh-huh.
That's you mean your dad?
Born.
All right, Stiz grabbing. Oh, how's your poll going?
Yes.
Stanley's poll is up. And it's about the NFL and the fact that they may indeed allow NFL players to smoke marijuana for pain management.
That's right, Hill Dog. And we asked this morning, do you believe NFL players should be allowed to smoke marijuana? Right now, 82% of our audience think yes.
They do.
The NFL players
should
be allowed.
That's not surprising.
Yeah.
Why not at this point?
My concern is, what if it becomes a performance-enhancing thing for
nice
some players. Seriously.
Perhaps?
I've never heard anybody call marijuana a performance.
Well, no, there's so
drug.
Many different strains right? now. You get a straight sativa, it gives you energy, it makes you more focused.
You clean the house.
Right?
Yeah, but what if they drink five coffees or, you know, 5 hour energies before the game?
No,
right?
That's true.
It peps
too.
You up a little bit.
Yeah, that's true.
All right.
5 5 hour energies before the game. Also, breakfast for Johnny Egan. No, that's Red Bull.
Coming up, our annual playing of the Greenfields of France, because we always do that before Memorial Day to honor those who have lost their lives, given their lives in service of this country. So we'll do that shortly. But I did want to discuss the war that has been launched on cauliflower.
Yeah.
By... the Congresswoman from New York, AOC.
Who has clearly never gardened in her life.
I didn't realize that cauliflower was such a horrible vegetable until she spoke up yesterday.
Yeah. Well, it's colonism, Greg.
Uh-huh.
She was talking about the proposed Green New Deal economic stimulus package. She did an IG video. We have a little sound. We'll play it in a second. And she's talking about how communities of color are resistant to certain environmentalist movements. And she doesn't understand why we would plant something like cauliflower as opposed to yucca in a garden in a community of color. Okay? Now, she's from New York. Yucca is a tropical root, so probably not the best thing she could have chosen for, you know, a food staple of certain, you know, groups of people. But let's listen to what the Congresswoman had to say.
When you really think about it, when someone says that it's too hard to do a green space that grows yucca instead of, I don't know, cauliflower or something, what you're doing is that you're taking a colonial approach to environmentalism. And that is why a lot of communities of color get resistant to certain environmentalist movements, because they come with a colonial lens on them. And it should be no surprise that that sometimes a lot of these projects don't work out occasionally.
I guess if I was going to choose which plant might be colonial, like I'd say tobacco or something.
Right,
like,
yeah.
I don't know that I would go with cauliflower. I guess I don't know enough about the history of vegetables. That I didn't know that. I mean, I'm not a fan of cauliflower, so I guess that means I'm not a racist. But I don't like. I mean, like, what are the? Which are the inappropriate vegetables? Are they potatoes? Those are probably inappropriate.
No, it'll never be that. I need my French fries. Mm-hmm. They're French.
They're Belgian.
So is that appropriate? Okay, so is that appropriation?
I can't believe this woman got elected. I can't believe she got elected. She actually thinks it's one of the, she thinks it's the third branch of government. She had a little issue with the three branches of government the other day. I don't know if you heard that.
No, I didn't.
Oh, I'll play that for you. I'll play that for you next hour.
Okay.
But yeah, okay, all right. So, okay, wow. No cauliflower.
Oh, okay, wow. No cauliflower.
If you don't.
So it's environmentally racist.
Yes.
Am I reading that correctly?
I think so, yes. I think, yes.
All right. I don't.
So please make sure that you're not eating any cauliflower, which means, great, I have to have yuca for lunch. Can I get extra yuca on my salad?
Have you ever had yuca buns?
I've never had yuca anything.
They're very well. Have you ever had anything with tapioca in it?
Yeah, no, I don't like tapioca. I think it's
tapioca
gross.
Tapioca is gross. I don't mind it in bubble tea though. The pearls in bubble tea. I don't mind it.
Tapioca pudding is disgusting.
It's nasty. It's like people
who
stuff.
Like. I know a lot of shoes ladies.
There it is.
They like the tapioca pudding, but not
That's
me.
What kind of sex with the ladies is like.
Yuca.
That's where tapioca comes from, the cassava root, which is the yuca root.
The what root?
Cassava.
Yuca.
No. Here's a 978 text, I'll read it, which says, AOC actually sounds smarter than you two tools. I don't know which one. There's three of us.
Okay.
There's three tools here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So eating cauliflower or planting cauliflower instead of something that supposedly is more part of the community makes me racist?
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
Especially when that item doesn't grow in the community you're talking about planting it in.
And it's preventing people from having home gardens because they're thinking they can't.
Well, good luck on cauliflower becoming the official vegetable of New York. They thought they had that locked down, but she's going to get in the way.
Failure.
Of
that. Oh, my God.
Yuca.
Yuca. Imagine how much time is invested in trying to figure out what the racially correct pronunciation of yuca is by somebody like her.
Oh, we know now.
Yuca.
Well, I'm going to spend more time eating my vegetables going, is this racist? This asparagus? Can I eat this?
Here's a text that says, you just sent the bat signal out to Jonathan. I don't know. Jonathan's probably not listening or he would have called already. all right. Well, there you have it. The congresswoman from New York.
There's a just a side food note. They make I think they're called Brazzi Bites. It's a little frozen cheese bread thing. Mm. They come in a bag. They look like little ice cube size things. Mm-hmm. And they're made with yuca flour, but they have cheese in them. They're cheddar. And you bake them up and they come up, they turn into these like little cheese rolls. They're actually delicious.
Oh, no. That does sound good.
Just a little recommendation for you from your freezer section.
I think I'm going to throw some yuca on the grill Saturday over on the bro trip on Nantucket over at the house there.
I don't know how well that's going to grill. It's a little starchy. I'd be afraid you're going to whack your tiny hand off with a knife trying to. I mean, because you got to take the. It's got two layers on the outside. You get the brown peel and the pink peel. You got to kind of hack it in the middle and break it apart. It's
like,
a little
it's
labor
like a potato.
Intensive. Yeah, it's a little bit more so.
Yeah.
A little bit more so.
All right.
Yuca.
So. Get me to another topic, which is one that won't make me want to gouge my eyes out, please. And that is Memorial Day, which is Monday. And the governor was in here this week and made a great point, which is that this is a great weekend for barbecues and going to the beach. In fact, Sunday's going to be a beach day. It's going to be in the 80s on Sunday. So we should all do all those things. But we should also pause at some point and pay tribute to those who have given their lives in service of this great country. And we have done that on the last day that we worked before Memorial Day for many years on this show, and I want to do it right now. And we always do it with the version of Greenfields of France from the Dropkick Murphys, And so it's a great tradition on this show, and I want to do it now. So I hope that you will take a moment and pause and reflect on that. And I remind you that this weekend, WAAF and Clear Path for Veterans New England and Subway are giving you the opportunity to recognize those who gave their lives in service to this country with our call, with our Salute to Service hotline. You can call 617-779-5454. That's 617-779-5454. Record a tribute and listen all weekend long. We're going to play your tributes and we're going to play blocks of American artists. But here it is now. Greenfields of France on the Hillman Morning Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.